want to thank the Lord this morning for keeping me saved, keeping my heart encouraged to live for Him. We realize that it is impossible to live a Christian life without Christ living it in and through us. I'd like for you to turn with us this morning to the book of 1 John, the 3rd chapter. We want to read verses 1 through 3. John, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 1, down through verse 3.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Yes.
Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Yes.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as He is pure.
Now the thought, dear ones, that's on our heart this morning, we want to talk about purifying ourselves. Amen. Purifying ourselves even as He is pure. I'd like to read some definitions for the word purify. The dictionary says to purify means to free from admixture of foreign or superfluous matters. It means to cleanse. It means to refine. And to refine means to improve in anything that constitutes excellency. Now, going back to the word superfluous, that means anything that's useless, are more than is necessary, that we are freeing ourselves from those things. Now, I thought about John mentioned here. He said every man that hath this hope in him, every precious soul, dear ones, that have a desire deep down within their heart, every precious soul that has an expectation of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ as He is, of being like Him when He appeared, that individual, dear ones, will purify themselves. That individual will cleanse themselves. That individual will work out their soul salvation. That individual, dear ones, by way of humbling themselves, surrendering, submitting and yielding themselves to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God, to the blood of Christ and to Jesus, letting them work in their life, letting them take out those things that God can't put His stamp of approval upon, letting the Word of God and the Spirit of God and Christ work in their life, adding to those to their life those things that Jesus can look down upon and He can smile upon, those things, dear ones, that would help us to portray the image and likeness of Christ as we journey through this dark and sinful world. Every man that hath this hope in him will be found purifying and cleansing himself and removing all foreign and superfluous matters. Amen. From his soul. Every man that hath this hope in him. Dear ones, do we want to see Jesus? Do we want to be like Him? If so, we have some work to do. You and I are going to have to work on our eternal soul. Amen. In the book of the Songs of Solomon, the 1st chapter and the 6th verse, please. Songs of Solomon 1 and 6. Praise God.
Amen. Look not upon me.
Yes.
Because I am black.
Yes.
Because the sun has looked upon me.
Yes.
My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard. but mine own vineyard have I not kept.
Now here the writer said, my mother's children, they made me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. We're living in a time, dear ones, when many precious souls are taking it upon themselves to keep the vineyards of other people. I'm going to make sure that your vineyard is clean. Make sure there's no briars, no thorns, no thistles in your life. Make sure that you measure to the standard of God. Make sure there's no mote in your eye. But listen, John said, every man that hath this hope in him, every precious soul that have an expectation, that have a desire deep down in their heart to see Jesus as he is, to be like him when he appears, that individual is not going to be so concerned about brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. That individual is going to turn their eyes on their own eternal soul, make sure that my heart is right with God, make sure the stamp of God's approval can rest upon my life, make sure that my vineyard is clean. There's no weeds, no briars, no thorns, no thistles in my life. Make sure that the mote and the beam is out of my eye. I want to see Jesus.
Amen.
And I want to be like him. Amen. Folks, we're going to have to work on our own soul.
Yes,
yes, it's good to can't be concerned about brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, carry a burden for them. But, oh, I want to see Jesus. I want to be like him when he appears. So it means I'm going to have to work out my salvation. I'm going to have to deal with my own eternal soul. I'm going to have to make sure that my heart is right in the sight of God as I journey through this dark and sinful world. In the book of Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verses 25 through 28, please.
Amen.
Warn to you, scribes and Pharisees.
Yes.
Hypocrites.
Yes.
For you may clean the outside of the cup of the platter.
Yes.
But within they are full of extortion and excess.
Yes.
How far?
Down through verse 28, please.
Thou blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also.
Yes.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness.
Yes.
Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity.
Now John said, if we have a hope, we will purify ourselves even as Christ is pure. Not as man count purity, but as Christ count purity. There is a difference, dear ones, in what man count as pure and what Christ count as pure. Here are the Pharisees. These people were careful, dear ones. They worked on the outward man. They brought that outward man into a state of perfection. They had a good moral life. The outside of the cup and platter was clean. And so in their minds and in their estimation, they had purified themselves. They had cleansed themselves. They had freed themselves from foreign matters and superfluous matters. All on the outward man. But yet the heart of those precious souls was still impure and defiled and sinful and unclean. But the writer said, dear ones, that you and I, if we have an expectation, if we have a desire deep down in our heart to see Jesus and be like him, that we'll purify ourselves even as Jesus is pure. I thought about in the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter, and about the 12th verse, it said there's a generation who appear in their own eyes, yet they haven't been washed from their iniquity. Oh, listen, dear ones, what man counts purity and what God counts purity is altogether two different things. In the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 8 and 9, the Lord said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Folks, listen, we're going to have to put off our thoughts concerning purity, and we're going to have to take the thoughts of God. I want a clean heart. Lord, I want a pure heart. I want to be like Jesus. I want to see him as he is. I want his smile of approval to rest upon my life. I don't want just a good outward moral life. I don't want an outward state of perfection. Lord, I want you to work a work deep down in my soul. I want you to be able to look down into the innermost part of my being. And I want you to be able to see your image reflected in me. As I journey through this dark and sinful world, I want the inside clean, and I want the outside clean. We're going to have to work on our souls, dear ones. Oh, if we want to make it to heaven, if we want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter ye into the joys of your Lord," you and I are going to have to deal with our own vineyard. All right, in the book of Mark, the 7th chapter, verses 21 and 22, please. Someone get 1 John 5 and 21 for us, please. Mark 7, 21 and 22.
Far from within.
Far from within. Yes.
Proceed evil thoughts.
Adulteries.
Fornications.
Murders.
Thefts.
Covetousness.
Wickedness.
Deceit.
Lasciviousness.
An evil eye,
blasphemy,
pride,
foolishness,
all these evil things
come from within
and defile the man.
Yes, Lord.
I want to be like Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus had a clean heart.
Amen.
He had a pure heart.
Amen.
There was nothing corrupt. There was nothing sinful. There was nothing defiled in the heart of Jesus. And dear ones, if you and I would see him as he is, if we would be like him, we're going to have to be careful about the things that abide in our heart. Here the writer mentioned a list of corrupt and evil qualities. These things cannot be present. Now we're going to have to purify ourselves. We must cleanse ourselves. We must make sure that we're free, our heart is free from all of these evil qualities, not 95% of them, but all of them. I want to see Jesus. I want to be like him. I want his smile of approval upon my life. I want the Lord to say, "Well done," when this short and fleeting life is ended. I don't want to come before the Lord and hear him say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." But oh, I want the Lord to accept me. I want him to receive me. I want him to embrace me on that last day. I want to be able to ascend up to heaven, there to dwell with him in all eternity. Going to have to keep our vineyard clean, folks. In the book of 1 John, the 5th chapter, and verse 21.
Little children, keep yourselves from
idols. Jesus had a clean heart. No idols in his heart whatsoever. I thought about that song poet saying, "Break down every idol and cast out every foe." Lord, I want my heart clean. I want it free from any idols. We must purify ourselves by humbling ourselves, by surrendering, by submitting, by yielding ourselves to the Word of God, letting God's Word get down into the innermost part of our being, letting it work in our soul, letting the Spirit of God work in our life, letting the blood of Christ work in our soul. We want it to work, dear ones, purging out of us everything that's not like God, and adding to our soul those divine qualities and graces of the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer mentioned idols. I want to read a definition for an idol. It says an idol is anything which usurps the place of God in the heart of his rational creatures. Anything that would seize or hold possession of as of some importantified place, office, power, or property by force or without right. Anything, dear ones, that gets into your heart and my heart, and it have no right to be there, and it's taking God's place, that thing becomes an idol to us. It will defile our heart. It'll make it unclean. It'll cause us not to be in the image and likeness of Jesus. I thought about the scripture teaching that in a certain place, a certain man made a grand supper, and at supper time, he sent out his servants to those that were bidden. He said, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they began with one consent to make excuse. One said, "I bought a piece of ground. I must need go and see it." One said, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I must go and prove them." One said, "I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." You know what that piece of ground was? What those oxen were? What that companion was? They were idols. They were things that held the chief place in these people's heart. They were things that governed and controlled these people. Things that they bowed down to in their heart and in their spirit. They surrendered and bowed down to those things. Those things usurped authority in their heart in a place that God should have been. Amen. Folks, we can't have any idols. The husband, the wife, the parents, the children, lands, properties, personal goods. We must put those things secondary. God must reign supreme in your heart and in your life and in my heart and in my life as we journey through this dark and sinful world. I want to be like Jesus. I want to see him as he is. I want his stamp of approval to rest upon me. I'm going to have to purify myself even as he is pure.
Amen.
In the book of Colossians, the 3rd chapter, I'd like for you to read verse 5 for us, please.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth.
Yes.
Fornication.
Yes.
Uncleanness. Inordinate affection.
Yes.
Evil concupiscence.
Amen.
And covetousness, which is idolatry.
Now, once again, Jesus had a clean heart. Nothing defiled, nothing sinful, nothing impure in his heart. These evil qualities that were named out here, Christ was free from all of those things. And if you and I would be like him, we must make sure that our heart is free from all of these corrupt and evil qualities. But once again, the writer spoke of covetousness. He said, covetousness, which is idolatry. I want to talk about covetous. Reading a definition for the word covetous. Well, first of all, the Bible instructs us that thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's house, his ox, his ass, his manservant, his maidservant. Thou shalt not covet anything that belonged to thy neighbor. Letting a spirit go out where we're reaching out and where we're desiring down in our heart to have those things that are unlawful for us to have. God forbid, dear ones, it will defile our eternal soul. It'll cause us not to bear the image of Christ. It'll cause us not to be ready when he appear and not be in his image and likeness. So we must be careful about the way that we conduct ourselves. But going on now and reading a definition here for covetous. The dictionary said that covetous in one sense means grasping and greedy. Folks, we have to purify ourselves. Not having any greediness in our heart. That old grasping spirit, that old discontented and dissatisfied spirit, always reaching out and reaching out and reaching out. The more we get, the more we want. The Bible said godliness with contentment is great gain. We have to be careful, folks, about letting that kind of spirit get in touch with our spirit and defiling us, a greedy and a grasping spirit where we're never content and never satisfied. I just just want more and more and more. Now, folks, listen. It's not unlawful if the more that you and I are wanting is more of Jesus Christ. We can just reach out all we want to. We can just dig down as deep as we want to dig. We can reach up as high as we want to reach. But when it comes to other things, we want to be careful about the Spirit that we possess and manifest.
Yes, Lord.
All right, another definition for covetous says being stingy, hoarding. Oh, listen, that old selfish spirit of where I'm reaching out and I'm gathering in, and everything that I gather in, it belonged to me, and I'm just holding tight to it. I thought about the rich man. It said a certain rich man, his ground brought forth plentifully, and this man, he had nowhere to bestow all of his goods. And he said, where will I put all of the goods that I have? He said, I'll just tear down my barns. I'm going to build greater barns, and there will I bestow all of my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
Yes, Lord.
Covetous spirit, folks.
Yes.
Stingy, hoarding. All, no doubt, of the poor people back in that time. No doubt all of the beggars that man could have assisted. He could have helped those precious souls. No doubt the work of God could have been helped by him just giving some of what he had. He could have helped the work of God and still had a plenty left. But he was stingy. He was tight. He hoarded it all to himself. And it cost him, folks. The Bible said there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet and yet it tendeth to poverty. Oh, God want a free people. God want a people, folks, it's better to give than to receive. God want a people that's willing to reach out to assist and to help those that are in need. He's wanting people. The work of the Lord is going lacking. The Lord is wanting people that's willing to give so the work of God can prosper, so the kingdom of God can increase and progress as we journey along the path of life.
Yes,
I want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
I want to see him as he is. We're going to have to purify ourselves. We're going to have to cleanse ourselves. We're going to have to make sure, dear ones, that our heart is free from all superfluous things, from all matters that's not like God. We want the Lord's blessings upon our soul. Nothing foreign attached to my heart and to my spirit.
Amen.
All right. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, in verse 1, please.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves.
Let us do like John said. Let us purify ourselves, even as he is pure.
Amen.
Let us cleanse ourselves
from all filthiness
of the flesh and spirit,
perfecting
holiness
in the fear of God.
Amen.
Folks, Jesus had a clean spirit.
Yes, he did.
His spirit was pure. His spirit was undefiled. There was nothing foreign attached to his spirit. Oh, listen. We want the Lord to help us. We want to be like Jesus. We're going to have to work on our eternal soul. I thought about those precious souls that have this hope in them. That individual will work faithfully and diligently on their own spirit. Lord, I'm concerned about my soul. I'm concerned about your image. I want your smile of approval upon my life. And I'm going to watch my own spirit and be careful of how I operate. In the book of Psalms, the 32nd chapter and verse 2, in connection with this, please. Psalms 32 and 2.
Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity.
Yes.
And in whose spirit there is no guile.
In whose spirit there is no guile. I'm going to have to watch my spirit. Make sure there's no guile. Make sure there's no deceit. Make sure there's no hypocrisy in my own spirit. Folks, we can look at the other fellow. We can see the deceit and the guile. We can see hypocrisy in this one and in that one. But oh, again, we better forget so much about the other fellow's vineyard. We better turn our eyes on our own soul. Make sure that I'm ready to meet the Lord. We don't know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man will come. I don't know when God is going to call me out into eternity. And while I'm working on someone else and my own soul is going lacking, and the Lord called me to come out and meet him, and I end up lost.
Yes, Lord.
I want my own spirit to be clean.
Amen.
I want it to be pure, even as Christ's spirit was pure.
Bless the Lord.
In the book of St. Luke, the 9th chapter, verses 51 through 55. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are.
Amen.
I want a spirit like Christ had.
Yes.
I want to be able to see him as he is.
Amen.
I want to be like him. Now these disciples, these men were saved, but their spirit was somewhat tainted. And it was tainted in this sense, dear ones, because as of yet, they did not have that carnal nature, that Adamic nature, that sin principle, the root of sin. They didn't have it purged out of their heart. It was still in their heart. And as a result of it being in their heart, it tainted their spirit and caused them to lean toward the flesh, caused them to lean toward the world instead of toward divine things.
Yes, Lord.
I want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
I want a divine nature. I want the Lord's blessings upon my life. It's going to take us, dear ones, consecrating. It's going to take us dedicating. It's going to take us giving ourselves wholly to the Lord, letting the Holy Spirit, giving Him liberty to come into our heart, come into our life, root out every plant that our Heavenly Father have not planted, burn out everything that's not like God. Let Him have His way in our heart and in our life. Let Him lead and guide and direct us. Let Him govern and control us as we journey through this dark and sinful world. We're going to have to be subject to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Want to be like Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
In Hebrews 4 and 12. I'd like for you to read that for us, please. Hebrews 4 and 12.
Well, the Word of God is quick.
Yes.
And powerful.
Yes.
And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
If we want to be like Jesus, we're going to have to surrender to the Word. Let the Word work in our life. Let it work in our spirit. The writer said the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Now, folks, there are foreign spirits that will attach itself, make themselves barnacles and attach themselves to your spirit and my spirit. If we're not careful, those things will come in and they'll attach themselves to us and they'll defile our spirit. But if we'll just let the Lord work in our heart, work in our life, as the Holy Ghost put His finger up on something in your life and my life, and we just surrender to the Lord, let the Spirit go ahead and have its way in our life, it'll come right in. God's Word, as we hear it preached and taught, folks, it'll come right in and it'll separate, it'll sever, it'll cut off everything
yeah,
that's foreign.
Yeah.
Everything that shouldn't be attached to your soul and my soul, the Word of God can come right down between our soul and that thing and separate and sever it from us, leaving us clean, leaving us pure, leaving us spotless, leaving us in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Do you want to see Jesus?
Amen.
Do you want to be like Him? Oh, we're going to have to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. We're going to have to work on our own vineyard. We're going to have to make sure all the briars and thorns and thistles out of our life. Make sure the motes and the beams are out of our eyes. We're going to have to deal with our own soul, folks.
Yes, Lord.
All right, in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in verse 12, please.
Now we have received...
We have received not the Spirit of the world,
but the Spirit which is of God,
that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Paul said we haven't received the Spirit of the world. God gave us His Holy Spirit. He gave us the Spirit of Christ. He gave us a pure and a clean spirit. And we haven't received the Spirit of the world. Folks, we got to work on our soul. I thought about over in the book of Isaiah, I believe about the 11th chapter. Here, dear one, the Bible speaks about the lion, about the wolf, I believe, lying down with the lamb. I thought about how sometime, if we're not careful, we can kind of drift. We can become at ease. We can become slack and relaxed. And the enemy will come right in. And he'll attach a foreign spirit to our spirit. That old wolf-like spirit. That old ravenous spirit. That old destructive and devouring spirit. That old relentless spirit. And it will defile our soul. And it'll keep us from being like Christ.
Yes,
he spoke about a lion spirit. I beg your pardon.
You want that scripture?
Yes, would you read that for us, please?
The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb.
Yes.
And the leopard shall lie down with the kid.
Yes.
And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them.
The leopard shall lie down with the kid. A leopard is a treacherous animal. An animal that you cannot put any faith in. You can't depend on them. You can't trust in them. You've got to watch that animal constantly and continually. Oh, listen, folks. Sometime, now what Isaiah was talking about, he wasn't talking about four-footed beast here. He was dealing with symbolic language. And he was dealing with analogous character. People that have a spirit. People that have attitudes like these animals do. He was talking about men and women and boys and girls and the way you and I conduct ourselves. He was talking about things that would attach themselves to our spirit and to our soul if we're not careful.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, he said a lion spirit. That authoritative spirit.
Yes.
That superior spirit. That bold and bossy spirit. That spirit that everyone have to submit to and have to bow down to. He mentioned that old bear spirit. That old spirit that's ready, whether it's provoked or not, it's ready to rise up and fight. Folks, we must be careful as we journey along the path of life to keep our spirit free from all foreign matters, from all superfluous matters. We want to see Jesus as He is. We want to be like Him, and none of these spirits
Amen.
Was present in His heart and in His life.
Yes, truly, truly so.
The writer said again here in 1 Corinthians 2 and 12, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Even though, dear ones, we haven't received the spirit of the world, God didn't give us that kind of spirit, yet we must be careful, because sometimes as we journey along the path of life, again, people become a little relaxed, they become slack, they become negligent about the matters of their soul, and as a result, they begin to embrace, they begin to accept, they begin to receive a little of the spirit of the world, they begin to act like the world. They began to talk like the world. They began to look like the world. They began to go some of the places that the world go. Listen, folks, if we want to be like Jesus, We're going to have to be careful and guard our spirit. Cannot give place to a worldly spirit if we want the Lord's blessings upon our life. In the book of Philippians, the 2nd chapter and verse 5, please.
Let this mind be in you.
Yes.
Which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Verse 5.
Yes, that's fine. Thank you. Now, Jesus had a pure heart. He had a pure spirit, and he had a pure mind. And if we would be like him, the writer said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 14 through 17, in connection with this, please. Hebrews 12, 14 through 17.
Follow peace with all men.
Follow peace with all men and holiness,
without
which no man shall see the Lord.
Looking diligently.
Yes.
Lest any man fail
of the grace of God.
Lest
any root of bitterness springing up trouble you,
and thereby
many be defiled. All right, is that through 17?
Lest there be any fornicator.
Yes.
Or profane person.
Yes.
Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing,
yes,
he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance.
Yes,
though he sought it carefully with tears.
Now we're talking about having a mind like Christ. Now the writer mentioned here, lest the root of bitterness springing up trouble you. We must guard our mind as we journey through this dark and sinful world.
Amen.
Lest the root of bitterness get in our heart, get in our mind. Do you know, folks, that our mind can become bitter? Oh, I thought about in Genesis, the 27th chapter and the 34th verse here. It says, and when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding and bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Esau cried with a bitter cry. He was heard. Jacob had done him wrong. Jacob had taken advantage of him. Undermined him. And now, dear ones, this man's mind had become bitter toward his brother. And he determined that my father's death is near at hand. And as soon as the morning days of mourning are over for my father, I'm going to slay my brother Jacob. He had a bitter mind. Oh, folks, listen. We have to guard our mind. We have to keep a guard on it. The devil is constantly and continually lurking around, watching for an opportunity to plant a seed of bitterness in your mind or in my mind towards someone, a seed of bitterness, a seed of unforgiveness, whatever the case might be. We must keep a guard on our mind that the devil not be able to get an advantage of us. I want to see Jesus as he is. I want to be like him. So I'm going to have the same mind.
Amen.
That he had. Folks, things happen to us. Things happen to you. Things happen to me. And if we're not careful, the devil will plant a seed of bitterness in your mind and my mind that will defile us and cause us to lose our eternal soul.
Amen.
All right, in the book of James, the 1st chapter and verse 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Christ did not have a double mind, He had a single mind. Amen. His mind was toward his heavenly Father. His mind was on spiritual things, divine things, heavenly things. I'm thinking, dear one, the Bible said that no man can serve two masters. Either we'll love the one and hate the other, or else we'll hold to the one and despise the other. We can't be double-minded. We can't put one hand in the hand of God and the other hand in the hand of the world and expect to have God's blessings upon our life. We're going to have a single mind, folks.
Amen.
We're going to have to set our mind on the things of God, and we're going to have to pursue it with all of our heart. I want to be like Jesus. I want to see Him as He is. I want His smile of approval upon my life. I want to hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joys of your Lord." Oh, I thought about the writer saying, "If God be God, then serve Him."
Yes.
And if Baal, then serve Him. Folks, we have to have a single mind.
Amen.
Oh, we can't serve God and the world too. In the book of 2 Kings 17 and 33, the writer said here,
they feared the Lord
and served their own God. Double-minded, weren't they? Going to fear the Lord, yet I'm going to serve my own gods. That's a double mind, folks. We cannot live that way. We can't have God's blessings upon us that way. We're going to have to either go for God or we're going to have to go the other way. The Lord said, "I would that you were either hot or cold." Oh, listen, God doesn't want a double-minded people. He wants single minds. He wants us to set our mind and our hearts on Him and let Him have His way in our heart and in our life.
Yes, Lord.
All right. In the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and verse 1, please. I thought about also, just a minute, please. Jesus speaking here, He said, "The prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me." Now, if you and I would be like Jesus, we're going to have to keep a watch on ourselves, on our heart, on our spirit, on our mind, that when the prince of this world, speaking of Satan, the enemy of all souls, when he approached, we can say as Jesus, "He have nothing in me." Folks, if there's a little something in your heart, or my heart, in our spirit, in our mind, that the devil can lay claim to and say, "This is a product of mine," he have a lien on that property. He has a lien on it. We must be careful to keep all foreign matters free from our heart, our mind, our spirit.
Amen.
I want to be like Jesus. I want to see Him as He is. Folks, it don't come. When Jesus come through the clouds, it's not going to be a sudden change and I'll be like Christ then. I'm going to have to be like Him now. I'm going to have to live as He lived. I'm going to have those same graces and qualities abiding in my soul now, that when Jesus comes through the clouds, I can see Him as He is and I can be like Him.
Amen.
All right, Hebrews 12 and 1.
"Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed
about so great a cloud of witnesses,"
"let us lay aside."
Oh, listen, folks. There are multitudes upon multitudes of saints that have gone on before you and me, that have proven that this life can be lived, that God can bless our soul, and that we can make it into heaven. We have no excuse.
Amen.
"Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are. God have made provisions easily beset us.
And
let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Every man that hath this hope, that hath this desire, deep down in his heart, that individual will purify themselves, cleanse themselves, free themselves of from all foreign matters and from all superfluous matters. Again, means useless and unnecessary matters. Things, dear ones, that it's no benefit, it's no help to us. It's not going to glorify God. We need to lay those things aside. Amen. Those are weights. Those are things that will hinder us. I thought about how we're living in a time, dear ones, that if we're not careful, many people will justify themselves. They will excuse themselves. They'll give a reason as to why I'm doing this or why I'm doing that. And they'll say, well, what I'm doing is not a sin. And oftentimes it's not a sin. But do you know that there are things, dear ones, that you and I can do that cannot be classed as sin, but it will hinder you and me in this spiritual race? It'll hinder our relationship with Jesus. It'll keep us from being all that God would have us to be. It'll keep us from doing all that God would have us to do. It'll keep us from going some of the places that God would have us to go. And it cannot be stated that that's a sin, see? But it is a weight. It is a hindrance. It's something superfluous. It's something unnecessary. And we need, as the Spirit of God put His hand upon those things, we need to free ourselves from those things. Purifying ourselves even as He is pure. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and verse 22, please.
Abstain from all appearance of evil.
The writer said abstain from all appearance of evil. Again, dear ones, if we're not careful, we'll justify ourselves and we'll excuse ourselves. Maybe you begin to talk to someone about something that they're involved in, and people will let you know, well, listen, this is not a sin, and I don't care what people think, it's not a sin, and I'm going to do it. Oh, dear ones, listen, it may not be a sin, but the Bible said abstain from all appearance of evil, because it's going to have a hindering effect upon your soul. I thought about in the world that we live in today, the multitudes and multitudes of souls that need help, crying out for help, sinners needing help, saints needing help. But sometimes, dear ones, do you know that the things that we do, the things we get ourselves involved in, it may not be a sin, but it leaves an appearance of evil. It leaves our life under a shadow. It leaves a life under a cloud. And here's a soul that's needing some help, a soul that I could counsel, I could advise, I could instruct, I could be a blessing to them. But because my life is under a cloud, they don't have confidence in me. I can't help that soul. What I'm doing is not a sin, but I cannot help that individual because my life is under a cloud. Oh, may God help us. Do we want to see Jesus? And do we want to be like Him? We're going to have to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. In the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 4, please.
Be therefore followers of God as dear children.
Be followers of God as dear children. And walk in love.
Walk in love.
As Christ also loved us.
And has given Himself,
for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor.
But fornication,
all uncleanliness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. I want to be like Jesus. I'm going to have to make sure that my life is free of all of this list of things that the writer has mentioned here. But I thought about him mentioning jesting. Jesting means joking. We must be careful, dear ones. Paul spoke about us dealing with profane and old wives' fables. Now again, we gave a definition for purifying. It said here to lay aside superfluous matters, useless matters, unnecessary matters, jesting and joking is useless and unnecessary. It doesn't benefit our soul. It doesn't glorify God. It doesn't add anything to the Christian life. So as the Spirit of God deal with our heart and begin to put His finger up on things of this nature in our life, we need to separate ourselves, need to sever ourselves. We need to cut those useless things off from our life, because I want to glorify the Lord. I want to be like Jesus when He appeared. I want His smile of approval upon my life. Oh, dear ones, we want to make it to heaven.
Amen.
In the book of Proverbs, the 10th chapter and the 19th verse, please.
In the multitude of words,
there wanteth not sin.
But he that refraineth his lips is wise.
Yes. In the multitude of words, we're talking about purifying ourselves. Putting off, laying aside all superfluous matters, those things that's more than necessary.
Amen.
Do you know that sometimes some people just simply talk too much?
Yes.
They talk too much. Talk more than is necessary. And in the multitude of words, that wanteth not sin. We must be careful, dear ones. If we get caught up too much in talking, what we'll find ourselves doing is gossiping. We'll find ourselves tail-bearing. We'll find ourselves backbiting. And these are things that God cannot be glorified in. These are things that will hinder and damage our eternal soul. It'll mar the image of Christ in our life. All right, in closing, the writer also stated about purifying. He mentioned refining.
Yes.
Refining. There's a need for us to refine and improve our lives.
Yes.
Those divine graces, those qualities that God has blessed us with, the love of God, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, goodness, faith, all of those divine qualities, we can improve on those qualities as we journey along the path of life. As we humble our hearts before the Lord, as we seek His face earnestly and sincerely, Lord, I see a need in my life. I appreciate the love that You put within my heart. But Lord, I want that love to grow. I want that love to abound. I want that love to increase. I want You, Lord, to teach me how to love You better. I want You to teach me how to love my fellow man better. Lord, would You bless my soul as I journey along the path of life?
Yes.
Oh, dear ones, do you want to see Jesus?
Yes.
Do you want to be like Him?
Yes.
The writer said, every man that hath this hope in Him, every precious soul that hath this desire, hath this expectation deep down in his heart, to see Jesus as He is, and to be like Him when He appears, that precious soul will purify themselves. They will cleanse themselves. They will separate themselves from all foreign matters, all superfluous matters. That individual will refine their life. They'll work on their own vineyard, keeping it weeded out, keeping the briars and thorns and thistles out, keeping the motes out of their eye and the beams out of their eye, and they'll take care of the matters of their own eternal soul.
Amen.
Amen.